Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network On Tour, live at Slow Food Nations in sunny, sunny Denver. I'm Hannah Forden, the program manager at HRN. Thank you all for listening. We're about to jump into a new interview, but first we want to thank our generous sponsors who have made our coverage and journey here from Brooklyn possible. And those are the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts, Big Green Egg, and Hearst Ranch, and of course, our friends here at Slow Food Nations for having us once again for the third annual Slow Food Nations. We just love it here so much. For those of you who aren't familiar, Heritage Radio Network is an independent nonprofit food radio station based in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We have 35 weekly shows, of which this is one, so check out our coverage. It's all about food, drink, agriculture, all that good stuff. So I want to welcome our special guests. We are joined by Sarah Palki, who is the Senior Marketing Manager of Community Engagement and Events at Whole Foods Market. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Lentine Alexis, who is the Culinary Director of Cured in Boulder and is also a Chef Ambassador with Whole Foods Market. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. So ladies, I know Whole Foods Market has a really awesome activation here at Slow Food Nations. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing this weekend?
We've been staying busy and trying to stay dry. It's been really great. This festival is fantastic. It's really well run. And we've got to have a few different touch points throughout the footprint of the event. So it's been a lot really great to interact with our vendor partners and then the attendees to the event and kind of hear their story and their journey through food.
Excellent. And Lentine, tell us a little bit about Cured, where you work in Boulder, and the work that you also do with Whole Foods.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the culinary director at Cured Boulder, which is a small specialty market, basically. We have a really robust catering arm, but really, if you want to come and visit us in Boulder on Pearl Street, we have a beautiful selection of cheeses from small purveyors found all over the world and charcuterie, and we have this catering arm I'm talking about. We're using all local foods grown here in Boulder, and so I'm really proud to pioneer that. I'm not really pioneering it, but I'm driving all the recipes and thoughts through food at that location. And that pairs well with the work that I do for Whole Foods in the sense that we are upholding the highest standards of curation, basically. So whether we're buying pantry items that we're using for some sort of large-scale event, or we're purchasing a small cheese or, you know, a very small quantity of carrots, the work that I do is all about choosing the highest quality ingredients no matter where I'm working.
Awesome. So Sarah, going back to you, a big part of what you do with Whole Foods Market is community engagement. And I think food festivals like Slow Food Nations are such an amazing way to connect with people, to see what consumers are looking for and excited about. I'd love to hear about what is so special about Slow Food Nations and how it aligns with Whole Foods Market's values, which I think are very much informed by this movement.
Yeah, we're definitely, I think, you know, going in the same direction. Food equality and access to healthy food are two of our main priorities. And then I think local's a big point that Whole Foods cares about and wants to support and be an incubator to continue to grow brands. And then I think just hearing the different things, like talking to some of our vendor partners and hearing what flavors people are really interested in their products, because that's great. It helps us kind of feed what the next wave of trends is. And this is the touch point. These are the people making the decision of what comes next. So it's great to have that face-to-face contact and hear their stories. And then I think helping people understand why it's important to know where your food comes from, why it's important to care about sustainability practices in agriculture and in farming. And this is a really great place to tell that story.
Right, and I know it's very important to Whole Foods Market to engage with the local communities that the stores are based in. And you're based here in Denver,
yes.
And I know from my own Brooklyn Whole Foods, they have produce from New Jersey and upstate New York and urban farms in the city. I'd love to hear about some of the vendors that you work with locally that you're really excited about.
Yeah, we have been lucky enough in our lounge space that we here have at Slow Foods to be able to highlight some of our really hyper-local vendors. Everything from ice cream today, since it's National Ice Cream Day. And then even like Jackson's Honest Chips, which is a brand that probably even in Brooklyn you guys know that we've been part of their journey and growing their brand. So it's fun to see Pica Flor. I can see them. They're fantastic. They're fermented hot sauces and vegetables. But they have a farm that you can go and look and feel and touch and be a part of their story from literally it coming out of the ground till it hits the shelves of the thing. So I think that those are the fun stories. And I haven't met a vendor that's in Whole Foods that I haven't been, like, amazed by their story. It's just always cool, and it's so much of a passion project. To get a product on the shelf is a tough journey. So you have to really care about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I think at HRN, we speak to people on every side of the food chain. So from farmers to producers, bakers, chefs, retailers. And for small food producers, retailers really are some of their biggest advocates. Yeah. And chefs as well. We've been talking a lot about how chefs are ambassadors. But I think for retailers, and Lentine, it sounds like you're also working in the retail space, you're the ones who are pioneering these small brands.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Lentine, how you kind of found your way into this world and how you built your relationship with Whole Foods.
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. Well, to start with how I found my way into the food world,
yes.
I was a professional endurance athlete before I became a chef, and I was living abroad, and this was quite a few years ago, and there were no quote-unquote packaged products for me to be able to fuel like a 120-mile bike ride or a marathon with, so I had to find something that was going to do that, and I had always been naturally curious about cooking and particularly baking, and so I started kind of crafting in my own kitchen things that I would be able to take with me on these long runs and rides and explorations, which in a place like that, I had all these recipes that my mom had made, and I was craving things like big muffin tops. And as it turns out,
you need those carbs, yeah.
Yeah. As it turns out, you can't make a muffin top without gluten, and I wasn't able to find very many glutinous flours in the Asian country where I was living. So I needed to know more about the science about how this thing happens. So I went to culinary school and studied pastry, and realized quickly that I was not able to live the active lifestyle that had inspired me into the food world by being a pastry chef at a Michelin-starred restaurant. And so I left the formal culinary world and kind of leapt out into the wellness space. Started doing a lot with sport, doing in the outdoor industry, and worked for a sports nutrition company for a little while. And then in the past few years have really started to find, you know, as my athletic life changes, I don't race anymore, but I still do a lot in the sport industry and still do a lot outdoors. The way that I think about food has changed, and with so much discussion about climate change, there's a lot that I can do as a chef to make choices that impact the world around us, and shopping locally is for sure one of those things. Actually, I'm able to, in Boulder, I'm able to use local produce kind of from April to, or really it's more like May to November. And that's an amazing opportunity.
Quite a growing season.
It's really cool. Yeah. So, so recognizing that I have the power to make those choices and talk about those as a chef and as a busy person who doesn't necessarily have a lot of time to, you know, I am a chef and I have some talent in that, but I am making choices with zero time budget to spend.
As most of us
as
are.
As most of us are, yeah.
And I think that's why having chefs who can help us, inspire us to have, like, manageable goals of cooking for ourselves and finding out healthful and ecologically friendly food is so important.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where actually my relationship with Whole Foods comes in that I don't have a farmer's market available to me all year, and there are certain ingredients that I eat all the time that don't come from my backyard. I eat avocados. Those don't come from Colorado. Bananas. There are a lot of pantry items that I have brands that I like and brands that I trust, and I know that I can get those at Whole Foods. And so recognizing that to fill my life and my belly with ingredients that I trust and value means marrying those two things together.
Yeah. And speaking of brands we trust, as I mentioned at the top of the show, one of our amazing supporters and one of our longest standing supporters, Heritage Radio Network, is celebrating our 10th anniversary this year, which is really exciting. And one of the companies that has been so supportive of our vision and with us every step of the way, and actually helped us source our shipping container studios, is Hearst Ranch. Which is we have a common relationship with them.
Yes.
And Sarah, I'd love to hear, I think Hearst Ranch is such a great example of a brand that Whole Foods has supported and is doing things a really, really special way. At Slow Food Nations, we talked a lot about the impact that meat has on the environment.
Yeah.
And Hearst is, they're really doing it in a way that's conscious and supporting the natural ecosystem. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, they are a fantastic partner, and it's fun because I've gotten to interact with them both as like a local vendor for a new store that we just opened in Malibu. They came out on site and grilled some burgers and were part of it. It was really neat, but then also because I've worked for Whole Foods in other regions where they're also selling their products. So I've interacted with them as a national brand and then as like the local ranchers coming out to grill. And you know, the grass-fed beef is unmatched, and they really care about the earth, and they do the steps to be doing the right thing for the animal, for the environment, and for us as consumers who are, you know, eating that meat on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fun to see. And I think sometimes when people walk into Whole Foods and we have this great animal welfare rating that we try to make really simple, it's 1 through 5, 5+. But you don't always know what it means to get to step one. And it's over 100 steps that they have to take to even be ranked on that chart. And the fact that like they're doing that every day, it's a conscious choice, and it takes time and money and effort to get there and keep that sustainable. So
absolutely.
They're a fantastic partner.
Yeah, and kind of piggybacking on that, we've talked, I know we spoke about it last year at Slow Food Nations, about labels. And I think, you know, you're a very visible grocery store that I think a lot of people look to for guidance.
Yeah.
Of what sort of businesses they should be supporting, and there's a lot of confusion about how foods are labeled. So we're talking about grass-fed, and there are companies like Hearst Ranch that, when they say grass-fed, like, those cows are outside. They're out in the pasture. They're wandering around. Those are, like, the happiest, healthiest cows. But a lot of other companies can put that same label on their meat, and it doesn't mean the same thing.
Right.
So how do you help your customers sort through all of that noise?
It is hard.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the nicer things about shopping at Whole Foods is we've done a lot of the work for you. When you walk into the store, because you know there's no artificial color, no artificial flavor. Some of those things that you keep hearing about, and you're like, I don't know how to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into Whole Foods, you don't even have to look at it. Not that you shouldn't still look at ingredients. Transparency is a big, important piece of the Whole Foods journey the last 40 years. So I think, you know, knowing that words like natural don't necessarily mean what you want them to mean. So kind of looking past kind of those buzzwords and digging in a little bit. There's some great third-party people that verify things are gluten-free, things are grass-fed. You know, so I think having help kind of getting past the buzzwords, yeah, is really where you need to dig in. And we try to label things as clear as possible, both in packaging, and then our signage in store obviously is important to help our guests navigate through what they're looking for. If it's, you know, ingredients you're trying to avoid, or a diet you're trying to abide by, if it's paleo or gluten-free or any of those, we're there to help. And our team members are wildly passionate about that and are great sources from talking to. If it's at the butcher counter and you're like, I want this piece of meat, but I need it this, and they can cut it, debone it, marinate it, smoke it, all of that. You just have to ask.
Absolutely. I think having an educated staff is so important. Mm-hmm. And Lentine, I'm sure you can speak to this as well. Working on a retail on a smaller scale and also in catering, developing that, how do you develop that vocabulary amongst your team to be,
yeah,
able to be a resource?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, kind of to progress your previous question, the idea of how do you do away with those labels, and just the knowledge, just knowing that you're going to a place where they have the knowledge. And even I myself find myself at the Whole Foods counter asking questions about, hey, tell me more about this purveyor, or where did this come from, or how did you get it, and what's the process behind it. And going to another location to pick something up, you're not going to have that opportunity to ask that question, and so that information is lost. It's really, mm-hmm, difficult to determine, you know, what you're actually getting, and there's a lot to know, and you know, we were speaking earlier today about how there are a lot, nourishing your body is about more than just the nutrition. It's also about so many other ingredients and the emotions behind what it is that, you know, the emotions behind the producers that are bringing our food to our tables, and the way that we allow time and space and energy and all of that is all goes into the food. So
yeah, it's a big picture. It's a very big picture. So Lentine, you mentioned that you are working on a cookbook.
I am.
Tell me about that. Is it related to the sort of knowledge that you had to gather as an athlete who was also cooking? Tell me everything.
Yeah. So, the cookbook is going to be written for active people, but basically, you know, the one of the words that we're toying with right now are kind of like overachievers, because it doesn't really matter that much whether you're going on a 50-mile bike ride or you're starting your own business. Like, this is a hustle that you have chosen, and as it turns out, the nutrition that you need to do that thing isn't that different. Although you may choose different ingredients depending on what you're up to. So probably I need more carbohydrates if I'm going to ride 50 miles than you might if you're starting a business. But you still need to fuel your body in the most basic ways similarly. So that's the angle, is we're going to talk about nutrition for active lifestyles and high-achieving people, that's in a lo-fi manner. So it'll be all real whole food-based. And we'll debunk a lot of myths about what quote-unquote healthy food is. And we'll talk about how to kind of return to what your body's asking for, really learning to listen to the macronutrients and the subtle minerals and other cues your body is giving you about types of things that it needs. Flavor will be a big driver.
Yeah.
I have a background in Ayurveda, and so I'm going to weave a few of those ideas in. So it's a big piece. We'll have 150 recipes.
Wow.
And really a guide to creating a cooking practice that suits a busy lifestyle.
That's so nice to hear, because I think one thing that can be confusing about the big overarching wellness space is that a lot of these diets or lifestyle choices can feel like it's one size fits all.
Totally.
That, like, this is the thing that's going to change your life. This is the thing that's going to make everything better.
And just cut this one thing out, or like just choose to not do that. And it's totally ignores the fact that really, you know, it kind of all comes back to the quality of the food that you choose makes a really big difference. And if you're like, the image that comes to my mind is if you are like overworked and stressed out and you unwrap a vegan, paleo, gluten-free burrito and you eat it over your countertop, like, that's not actually wellness.
That doesn't make it healthy. No,
that's not a healthful meal. But if you, you know, embrace the fact that you're going to go to somebody like Whole Foods and buy a couple of ingredients that are pre-made, and then you're going to make a few components yourself, and you're going to sit down, and maybe you're still eating over the kitchen counter or at the sink, but you have made a completely different choice. That's what this book will be really all about.
That's really exciting. And when can we expect to see that?
We have a little while. The book will be released in the spring of 2021.
Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Lentine's journey is part of the reason we're so excited to have her as a partner.
Yeah.
Is she makes ingredients and recipes really attainable and easy to understand. And then you can use it as a touch point. Like, we had a really great conversation, and she was like, I don't want somebody to have to go to my book to, like, make this exact recipe. So she is really great at providing, like, here's how you get from the ingredients to the end.
Blueprints.
And then you can figure it out with the ingredients you have. But, like, here are the key pieces to it. And that's what she got to do today with us on the demo stage. And people responded to it really well.
Thanks.
Because it is achievable. It's not, I don't feel like I have to go buy this one weird spice to, like, be successful at this dish.
Totally. It's blueprints and and strategies that work for, you know, here's some things I know how to do. I don't know how to do these other things, but I got this.
And she's a busy lady,
up.
So she does it in
a quick
time, right?
So it's really true, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, we are just about out of time, but I want to thank Sarah Palki and Lentine Alexis for the work you're doing to empower eaters and home cooks. I think it's really important. So thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks for
having
us.
And thanks again. We already shouted out Hearst Ranch as one of our supporters who made our coverage here possible. So thanks again to them, as well as the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts, and our friends at Big Green Egg and Slow Food Nations for having us. We are so happy to be here, and we will be back with more interviews. So don't go away. I'm Hannah Forden. Stay tuned.